listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee here in the liberal land of long beards, lattes, and lutefisk. Since I'm the all-powerful announcer guy and have the power to do this, I'd like to share my thought of the day as we get into today's show. I got nothing. And now here are your hosts, Doug Padgett, Brett Johnson, and Hunter Hawes.
Yeah, welcome all back to the Repartee, 4 o'clock hour here on a beautiful, beautiful, what is it today? Wednesday afternoon in Minneapolis. And we are joined by a couple of good friends of mine. I'm super excited about this, Shane Claiborne and Michael Martin, who are touring the country right now in a bus driven by the ever-talented Katie Claiborne, all across the country on a Beating Guns tour. And Beating Guns is, gentlemen, if you give me a moment to explain to people what this is. It is in some ways a book. It is in some ways a tour that you're doing 40 cities in your bus. It's also soon to be a documentary film. But more than that, it's a movement. It's a calling that people would join in to do something about gun violence in this country. And all of that is coming right here to the Twin Cities on Friday, this Friday night, over at 31st in Chicago, 6 to 8 p.m. You can go and meet Shane and Michael and Katie and the whole gang. So, guys, thanks for being with us. And tell us about Beating Guns, the book subtitle, Hope for People Who Are Weary of Violence.
Yeah, heck yeah. We're halfway into a 37 city tour, and of course Minneapolis is our highlight of it all.
Well played.
But we're
well played.
Every city we go in, we're transforming a gun into garden tools, and that's Mike's does all the work on that. He's a pastor and a blacksmith, but we're also amplifying voices of folks that have been impacted by gun violence, survivors, family members, and trying to see some concrete action. So there's something powerful about in, you know, 1.5 hours seeing a piece of metal go from a tool that was designed to kill into a tool that's designed to cultivate life. And we think we need the same kind of action when it comes to policies in our country, but that's what we're up to. It's been an incredible time.
Yeah, and Mike, talk a bit about that. You're a blacksmith, and you're traveling with a forge. And there's this I've seen it happen. It's a wonderful, in some ways, it's a spectacle, but really, it's kind of an emotional release when people who have been harmed by guns and have become the victims of violence that's brought to them by the end of a gun, to see that gun melted down and then turned into, as Shane put it, a garden tool that could be used to cultivate life rather than to bring about death. There's something more than just the spectacle and kind of the sheer heat and power of melting and banging going on with that transformation of the gun, huh?
Yeah, there's Isaiah and Micah really knew what they were doing when they were talking about turning swords into plowshares, that it's a lot more than that metal that's being transformed. When you see people who've been impacted, the other night we had somebody who took the life of somebody else, and he hit the barrel 18 times. And at the end, he said, "This is for my victim," and that he had spent 18 years in prison and was now a youth pastor in that community. And so there's a lot more transformation going on there than just that medal. But it's also an opportunity for the community to witness the trauma that people who go through gun violence have and still carry, and just be able to be there in solidarity with them and support them. Because it is about the triggers in our streets. It's also about the triggers in our hearts. And for some reason, that anvil kind of welcomes both of those there. And it's really a holy space.
Yeah, I really like that. And I was with you guys when we were in Philadelphia at a Demand the Ban, which was specifically asking for the banning of the legal sale and distribution of assault weapons. And a lot of times, the political side and the policy side of this turns to the most violent of weapons, but more deaths and more violence is distributed through guns that come in the handgun version of this. Is that part of your conversation here, is not just to move legislation or move public opinion on assault rifles, but actually to affect how people think about the use of handguns?
Absolutely. I mean, what we say is we're not here to prescribe one answer, but to provoke people's hearts to want to take action. But there are, you know, there's things like handguns where we've had a lot of states that want to pass a limit to the number of handguns that one person can have. It's often called one handgun a month bill that would limit the handguns to 12 that one person could purchase in a year. And you go, wow. Well, that makes sense. But those laws keep getting blocked over and over by a very small minority of kind of gun extremists, whereas 90% of Americans, over 80% of gun owners, want to see some real changes. So handguns are absolutely a huge problem. And so are stolen guns. We have a gun stolen about every minute in the U.S. And in a lot of places, stolen guns don't even have to be reported. So things like that, domestic abusers being able to have access to guns, if you're on a no-fly list, maybe you should be on a no-gun list. You know, there's those things. But, you know, on the other hand, like Mike said, it's not just about legislation. You can't criminalize hatred, and it'll still find different forms. So that's why when we go to the Forge, we say we have a gun problem and a heart problem. Mm-hmm. And God heals hearts, and people change laws, and we need both.
So if people want to make it out, that's this Friday night, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. It's a public event. It's being held over at Mount Olive Church, Lutheran Church, on 31st in Chicago and South Minneapolis. When they come that night, what will they experience? What are you going to do? If people, you know, don't know anything about blacksmithing, is this still something for them if they're not particularly religious and the metaphor from the Jewish scriptures of the Old Testament saying, you know, let's pound the swords into plowshares. That metaphor is maybe not the thing that organizes them. So if they're religious or not religious, into blacksmithing or not, what are they going to experience on Friday night, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock over at Mount Olive Lutheran Church, 31st in Chicago?
Well, every place we go, we invite a lot of local people who are on the ground doing the work to participate in our events. That can be artists or musicians or people who have been directly affected by gun violence. So they're gonna show up to an event that is very relatable to their community, but also they're gonna see it's accessible beyond. While Shane and I are both Christians, that we have that voice. We're not preaching at people, so it's a really accessible place to be involved with your community and hear the stories of gun violence that are impacting Minneapolis.
Yeah, it's like a 90-minute event that includes art and music, and one of my heroes right there in Minneapolis, Mary Johnson Roy, who lost her son and has now started an organization along with the young man and his mother who took her son's life. And so they're trying to do restorative justice and meet with people on both sides of gun violence, because it's affecting both the people who lose their children and also those who maybe their kids have taken someone's life and they end up spending most of their life in prison. So Mary's going to share her story, and it's going to be an incredible night.
Yeah, and I've been to some of these events that you guys have put on, and I'll just say that for people who are gun advocates and gun supporters, I think you guys do a really great job of not demonizing people who are hunters or who think about, you know, weapons that have been passed down from their families and are sort of kept in that way. And I just think you guys do a fine job of representing all of that. And it's also, even though there's all this sadness in the air because it's, you know, whether it's gun violence that people are turning on themselves and suicide, which is the number one means of people killing themselves in this country, or killing one another by intention or accidentally, it's just riddled with sadness across the whole thing. There's a sense that you guys can bring some real hope in the midst of that of those sad moments. Do you want to say a little bit about that, about how you balance or how you walk this careful line of having people, you know, knowing that guns are an important part of a lot of people's imagination in this country, and yet gun violence is something you'll bring it into, and how you bring hope in the midst of all this?
Yeah, well, there's, you know, it was intentional that our subtitle is Hope for People Who Are Weary of Violence, because we very much realize that some people are coming to events like what we'll do in Minneapolis with a very heavy heart, you know, some that feel just, you know, that fatigue of another mass shooting, another kid killed on our corner. But there's folks that really are clinging to the hope. And we're really hopeful because we see young people that are rising up all over this country, from Parkland students to the Black Lives Matter movement. We see what happened in New Zealand, a terrible tragedy. And for several nights, we began by beating on the gun 50 times for the lives lost in New Zealand. But then within days, we saw a country rise to the occasion and make substantial changes and also take on the hatred and the racism and Islamophobia. So, you know, I think that when we look at what is normal right now, there's a lot of folks going, it doesn't need to be normal to lose 105 lives every day to guns through suicide, homicide, accidental deaths. Like, that doesn't need to be normal. It's not normal in any other industrialized country in the world. So we are hopeful, and we do believe that change is coming, and people will feel that hope on Friday night.
So I'm talking to Shane Claiborne, Michael Martin. They've conspired together on a book called Beating Guns, Hope for People Who Are Weary of Violence, which, man, aren't we all? But there's also this tour event that's happening. They're coming this Friday to Mount Olive Lutheran Church, 31st in Chicago. Really encourage you to get out for this. It'll be a great time. Kids are welcome. I know that to be true. Adults are welcome. No matter where you are on the spectrum of this on Friday night, it's a great way to spend time. Can you guys say something about the documentary that's going to be released? I think isn't that happening in the next couple of weeks? A documentary about gun violence that you're part of?
Yeah, it's by our friend Rex Harson. He put out this documentary, and it's being released on 420, which is the 20th anniversary of Columbine. Our tour kind of started through Lent, and it's kind of ending there on that Holy Saturday. So he did a great job of getting a lot of different voices. There's a lot of new content in that documentary that isn't in the book. So I'd really encourage you to reach out to Rex, and we'll have info at the event on how you can do that. And he'd be happy to get people involved in hosting a screening or getting them to access it.
Yeah, it's all on our website, beatingguns.com. We'll have more information. But, I mean, it is wrenching that the 20th anniversary of Columbine falls on the same weekend as Easter, and that's part of why Rex wanted to release the film, because, you know, we live in a world that it just feels like constantly life and death are battling each other. And yeah, as a Christian, we believe that, you know, life does get the last word. Love does get the last word, but it doesn't always feel like, you know, sometimes it feels like we're still living in Good Friday before the resurrection. So this kind of honors all of that pain.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate that, guys. And you all being out there, you know, the 20th anniversary this month of the Columbine shooting is just matched by all the shootings before that. And you know, what happened at Sandy Hook, and just, you know, sometimes we can get confused by all the mass shootings and then also forget about all the individual killings that happen. And I'm with you. You know, I think that love does get the last word and life gets the last word, but boy, sometimes it feels like it's stuttering a bit, doesn't it? And it's just can't quite get the word out. And so you guys being out there, you know, trying to draw those words out, I think really means a lot. So I appreciate your good work, all the goodness that you're doing. Tonight you're in Missouri, right, on the hap chance that somebody's watching this online or listening. Tell us where you're going to be tonight, and I'll remind people that on Friday night you're going to be at 31st in Chicago here in South Minneapolis, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock.
Yeah,
Where are you tonight?
We're about a mile from the Capitol here in Jefferson City. We're at Quinn Chapel AME Church, African Methodist Episcopal Church. And, you know, what's been incredible is we've been in parks, community centers, street corners. And so tonight we're in Quinn Chapel AME, 6:30 to 8:30. And all of the events have their own unique Eventbrite page. So folks that might be listening in other cities can just go to beatingguns.com and you'll see all the cities. We've got about 20 or so cities left. So, yeah, thanks, man. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, beatingguns.com. Find all the details over there. Come see these guys on Friday night. And, gentlemen, I will see you on Saturday in New York City. So, hey, thanks. Thanks for all the good you're doing. Stick with us here on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Back after break.
Hey, this is Rick Shiomi from Full Circle Theater Company, and I hope you can join us for Repartee. That's the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
I'm Nick Slavik, proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. I've been a craftsman for 25 years. You'll not find someone who loves their job more than me. The process of painting your home could not be easier. Go to nickslavik.com, click on the button Paint My Walls or Paint My Cabinets. I'll personally be in contact with you to get an estimate, either in-home or a free virtual estimate. We move furniture, vacuum, sweep, dust, and put your home back the way we found it. We're not like other contractors.
This is Gregory Rich, founder of Habitation Furnishing and Design. I have a philosophy. Furniture should be beautiful, but if it's not comfortable, it's not much use to anyone. That's why at Habitation, we work hard to make sure that the furniture we sell is stylish and functional. Unique and useful. What more can you ask for? Habitation Furnishing and Design, 4317 Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park. It's the Twin Cities' best furniture and design showroom.
Hi, everybody. This is Paul Metzger from the Wall of Power Radio Hour. We have a great show this weekend. The fourth appearance of the great Charlie Pierce. Charlie is a liberal blogger, writes for Esquire.com. You hear him on the Stephanie Miller Show. And when we have him on, we call it Checkpoint Charlie. We talked music, hockey, politics. There's no brighter guy on the scene today than Charlie Pierce. Listen to it Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 4 on AM 950.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Total Dog Company exists for people who are serious about their dogs. People who want the best nutrition and the best gear for their dogs. Total Dog Company's mission is to provide high-quality, practical food and gear for dogs and only dogs. Nothing frou-frou or frivolous. Nothing with suspect ingredients. No cat food or wild bird food. Totally dog, from head to wagging tail. Find us in New Hope off of 169 at 9432 36th Avenue North and at TotalDogCompany.com.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Hey, Minnesota, it's Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow from the Bradcast. Heard every weeknight at 7 p.m., but don't worry, for now, you're in good hands with Doug, Brett, and Hunter on the one and only Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Hey, welcome back, all. Glad to have you with us here on this beautiful Wednesday. Man, it's a spring day out there. Really feels top of the world. Really feels great. Hey, I do want to just to add one more encouragement for you all to get out there and join those guys on Friday night. It's worthwhile. Beatingguns.com. You know, if we're going to change the legislation, if we're going to change the laws, you have to be willing to change people's ideas on this, and a lot of people they just disagree on guns. I find myself in a bit of a lonely extremist position. You know, I think we should change the Second Amendment to clarify that it was talking about state militias and not talking about individuals carrying weapons. And I think we should have a moratorium on the sale of bullets and of all things around guns. So I know I'm in that camp. A lot of other people aren't, though. I'm not going to try to win everyone over to that camp, but I would like for people to at least stop the violence and pass any laws that we need to stop the violence that's so deeply associated with guns. So, and what those guys are doing, Michael and Shane Claiborne, is really worth it. So I encourage you to get out there, beatingguns.com. Hey, Brad in Robbinsdale, you've got, I see on the little screener thing here, you said Trump's stupid statements. Man, I can't get over how many there are and how rapidly they're coming. But what are your thoughts on the fine president's statements?
Okay, well, while listening to you on the radio here, Doug, I've, you know, again, discovered that you are a very well-educated and well-read individual. But have you ever read Charles Darwin's Oranges of the Species?
I have not read his Oranges of the Species. But last night when I heard the president, I was thinking, man, I could go for a great orange. I was it kind of turned up my orange interest. If you don't know what Brad from Robbinsdale was referring to there, is that yesterday President Trump was lambasting the special counsel appointment and trying to say what we need to look into, according to the president of the United States, is the rationale behind how did this whole thing start? How did this investigation get itself going? What first led to the FBI looking at all this? And the president's idea is that it came from what's often referred to as the Steele dossier, put together by someone who was hired first by Republicans and then funded by the Clinton campaign and then the on called Oppo Research. And that information then was passed on to the FBI because what was found in that research was so devastating. Well, Trump is trying to say that information is what caused all of this Mueller thing to start that sent us down the bad road. So what we need to do is get back to the origins and find out. But he couldn't say the word origins, and he kept saying the word oranges. Did you hear it, Brett?
I didn't hear that, but I just want to go back to what you said, because it wasn't the Steele dossier that started the investigation. And what's funny is, so on Fox News, I heard this on the David Pakman show. What's the guy's name? Chris Wallace, I think, one of the Fox anchors, made just a very generic statement saying, no, that actually wasn't true. Yes. And apparently he's just getting all sorts of heat from Fox viewers and Fox anchors for just making a very bland statement saying, well, it actually didn't start with the
Sorry, listeners. Sorry, viewers. The investigation into the president's participation with Russia did not come from, was not rooted from its origins, nor its oranges.
It's did, orange.
Not, did not come from the Steele dossier, which is super important for people, right? Like, okay, because in all honesty, if that's where it had come from, that would have seemed a little bizarre. I think we all would have had some questions to ask. I do think the president is right about this, and I don't think I've said that sentence very often. In fact, I'm going to go into a rant here after the break about his terrible treatment of people in Guatemala and El Salvador and Honduras, and I take that one a little personally. I have friends in both those countries, and I've spent a lot of time in my life working with people in both those countries, and the thought that the president of the United States is going to take money from them because he wants to punish people that are seeking asylum is just – it's just immoral and disgusting. So I don't say this very often that the president was right about something. But what he is right about is we should look at the origins. Again, because I think he's
oranges.
Having some – I think he's having – I really do think he's having some issues of some brain function. I don't know if enough about dementia. But his inability to remember words and to speak them properly is really catching up. Maybe it's just sleep deprivation. Maybe it's a whole lot of stress and other pressures. But the number of times – and because he's Donald Trump, he just doubles down on the word and acts as if it's the right word to say. But if you could go and watch on the internet him trying to say we need to get to the origins of this and he can't remember the word origins and is saying the word oranges and then knows that he's saying the word oranges, it really sounds like someone who's having, you know, like verbal slurs that come from a lack of brain function. But all that to say, the origins is what we should look at, which is why were you colluding with the Russians in so many ways, right? I totally agree that we should look at the origins of what caused this investigation. And that was all the people in your campaign that were tied in with the Russians, for the love of it all. You know how it got started? You looked at the camera and said, Russia, if you're listening, release those emails. That's how it got. You know how it got started is that Roger Stone was telling people that he was in touch with Julian Assange from WikiLeaks. Like, of course there were reasons why it came together. And as you say, Mike Wallace on Fox News, who's a fine newsman himself, right? Like, as it turns out. Hey, did you hear that who's the woman that's the commentator? She was the head of the DNC after
she was after Wasserman Schultz, right? Donna Brazile.
Donna Brazile. She's now a Fox News commentator. Did you see this?
She's really going, ugh.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, they're trying to, they actually, I have nothing positive to say about the industry that is Fox News. It's just, you know, it is what it is. But they actually do have a whole number of people over there. And I will just say this. There are more times where on Fox News, they say things that are just straight up newsworthy and counter the Trump administration than you ever get on some of the other channels that are more anti-Trump and spend their time talking about how the Trump administration is detrimental to the country. I don't blame those other networks for doing that or for this radio station for doing that, because there's so much that the Trump administration is doing that's damaging. Full-time effort on that is demanded and needed, and I'm all for it. But over at Fox, there's a number of reporters and there's a number of news people straight up that are countering the very message. So the Trump cult runs so deep that they can even fend off the Shepard Smiths at times, right. the Mike Wallaces, the Donna Brazils. It's incredible how deeply rooted the hypnosis-like experience of people that continue to support the Trump administration runs and is. It's really something. But I do think Brad's onto something here about the commentary of the president not being able to frame the word orange, or not being able to phrase the word origin and getting stuck with oranges. It's worth a Google search. It's really, it's quite, it, and when you see it in light of all the other things he's talking about in that same press, little experience that he has, you realize his mind is, he's just saying things that are insane. Like wind power causes cancer. The sound from wind causes cancer. And that the Guatemalan government is putting, selecting the worst people and putting them in caravans and sending them here. Like, it's just, it's so irrational. It's incredible.
It's right, just basically your grandpa on Facebook. That's, yeah. It's unfortunately what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I just think about my, my grandchildren looking at me and saying, no, I literally have a grandfather on Facebook. It's me. So let's be nice to the grandfathers on Facebook, too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, okay, AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota, and this is the Afternoon Repartee. We'll be back after the break.
Hi, this is Mark from Friendly, and you're listening to the Rockin' Tower of Power Hour with Doug, with Hunter, and with Brett.
This is your daily legislative update on AM 950 with Representative Michael Howard. Each day we'll be sitting down with Representative Howard to discuss what's going on at the Minnesota Legislature. What's the timetable looking like for your bill to tackle the skyrocketing cost of insulin?
So the Alex Smith Emergency Insulin Act is moving in the House. We've had several hearings, and we hope to include it in the omnibus HHS finance bill. We're a little bit dismayed that the standalone bill has not been moving in the Senate. Senator Wicklund, who's the author in the Senate, has been doing great work to fight for this bill in the Senate, and we're making bits and bits of progress. But one thing that I would encourage folks listening, you know, if you have a connection to your family or a personal story with someone struggling with the high cost of insulin, call your legislator, call your senators, call your representatives, and say that, tell your story, because I really do believe that our best path to make progress on Alex's bill and other bills in the prescription drug space is to raise up the stories of Minnesotans, because when we center Minnesotans that are dealing with the high cost of prescription drugs, it takes it out of the partisan realm and takes it into just listening to Minnesotans and realizing this isn't right, this shouldn't stand. And so I think our best path to move forward is to continue to fight and organize and push and hopefully get this done this session.
That was your daily legislative update on AM 950. Join us weekdays at 4 p.m. to hear our conversation with Representative Howard. Keep up what's going on in the Minnesota legislature.
The Electric Fetus wants your used music. The used music buying bonanza is going on now at the Electric Fetus. Sell your vinyl, CDs, and DVDs from now through April 7th and receive an extra 50% based on the quote if you choose store credit. That's 50% more to use on more music or gifts. So bring your LP, CDs, and DVDs to the Electric Fetus. They're located at 2000 4th Avenue South and open 9 to 9 weekdays, 9 to 8 on Saturdays, and 11 to 6 on Sundays. And please note the store is closed April 1st for inventory.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
I'm Candy Broffel, publisher of the Twin Cities edition of Natural Awakenings magazine and host of Green Tea Conversations, a new show for people who are on a journey to take responsibility for their health and play a more active role in their family's well-being. Join me every Sunday at 10 a.m. as I interview local experts who share the latest in natural holistic approaches in a fun and informative way. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversation as we awaken to natural health. Visit us at naturaltwincities.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 31. Thursday, a chance for rain with a high near 47. Friday, partly cloudy with a high near 64. And Saturday, cloudy with a high around 66. Hazel's Northeast is the Eat Local Minnesota restaurant of the week. They have scratch dishes rooted in over 50 years of family tradition. For breakfast, try the slow-cooked brisket hash, while for lunch, check out the wild mushroom ravioli. Hazel's Northeast is located off 29th and Johnson in Northeast Minneapolis. Details at eatlocalminnesota.com.
This is David the Trucker, and we're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Reparty, because that's what we do here. Celebrate all things progressive.
Who's the trucker with the bumper?
He called yesterday, David the Trucker. Yeah, one of our listeners out on the road trucking around and listening online to AM 950.
David the Trucker. I love it. One of the things the reason I love this radio station, love radio, I just think you can enter into a whole other kind of conversation when you're talking to people in their trucks. I just think it's one of the things that progressive democratic ideas don't get out there enough. They don't get into the flow because they miss the cab of the truck, whether that's a pickup truck or a little SUV or one of the big rollers. It's a place you gotta engage in the conversation. So appreciate Trucker David. That's awesome. Hey, and that news for that weather forecast there, 66 on Saturday. Hang in there, everybody. It's about to turn the corner. It's fantastic. I'm going to New York tomorrow. I'm going to be in New York for a couple of days, and the schedule or the forecast is scheduled to be rain and 42 and windy in New York. So I'm going to be. It's not very often that you look back and say, "Boy, I'd much rather be in Minneapolis on this day in April." But that's going to be one of those. Hey, Brett, you may have seen this that Donald Trump went on one of his temper tantrums the other day. I watched the video footage of him standing. I think he was somewhere in Florida because Marco Rubio was standing behind him, looking at the ground, shuffling his feet like he's in some junior high or sitting in the principal's office. Getting in trouble and sort of shifting side to side while Donald Trump rages on about his plans to cut back on aid that's being sent to Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras. Now, a lot of this has to do with the fact that in 2014, when there was a big influx of people coming to the U.S. seeking asylum from Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras, the Obama administration made the decision to do what they said, what they refer to as to influence the push factors. What they mean by this is the push factors are those things that are in the countries of people's origin that are causing them to leave and pushing them out of the country. Drugs, crime, lack of work, government instability, these kinds of things are what cause people to start walking from Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala through Mexico to try maybe hook up with a ride to come up to the border of the U.S. and Mexico and try to ask for asylum because they're under the kinds of pressure that our government has long said earns someone the right to enter this country and be supported by the care and the good people of this country when you're in such a difficult situation and you can come in seeking some sort of refugee asylum. And we good people in Minnesota know that because, we have the highest percentage of refugees per capita in the state, in the country, our state, Minnesota, does it better than anybody else. So we understand this. So they come to the border. Well, the Obama administration wanted to fund the push, fund to help to address the push factors. Some people say that there's a pull factor, which is that the United States has the jobs, so that's pulling people this direction. So if you sort of get that metaphor. Well, of course, the Trump, because he's just is so haunted by the success of Barack Obama, everything Obama did, he just finds some way to undo it. Just sheerly just goes around and like he'll just try to wipe out everything that anybody associated with the Trump campaign, the Trump administration ever suggests would be anti-Obama. He's glad to do it. So they want to cut aid, $520 million, down from $750 million. Now just think about this for a minute. $500 million divided by three countries. That is such a small amount of money. Donald Trump spent $100 million on the parties for his own inauguration. Think about that for a minute. This joker spends $100 million on parties and then says, I think I'm going to cut $150 million of support and aid to El Salvador. As if $150 million is anywhere near enough to deal with all the issues. He should be doubling and tripling the money. So first of all, his just sheer pettiness is unbelievable. But then his ability to undo one good thing that happens in this world, which is the U.S. through USAID stepping up its support for things that in the international world are called NGOs, non-government organizations. In the United States, we refer to those as non-profit organizations. So if you hear someone talking about an NGO in a country, it's the same thing in the U.S. we would call a non-profit, meaning it's an organization of which someone doesn't own, but it's also not the government, and it exists for the benefit of someone else other than the people who own and operate that enterprise. So this money that goes to NGOs in El Salvador and Guatemala and Honduras doesn't go to the government. It's not like government officials are putting money in their pockets. I think Donald Trump literally thinks that everybody runs the governments in their country the way he runs the government here. That he thinks, well, if I'm the president, then I'm just going to make some money off this thing at my golf courses or at my hotel. Well, that's not actually the way it works in most countries. It wasn't the way it used to work in the U.S. The money that the United States gives to Guatemala is earmarked, targeted, demanded to have to go to nonprofit, non-government organizations who work specifically to address issues of poverty, corruption, and support for people so that they can create the conditions by which people will stay in Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador and not seek refugee status. So the very idea that what Donald Trump wants to do is to punish those countries because their people are leaving by taking away the money that goes to make it possible for them to stay in those countries is just the kind of thinking that goes on inside of Donald Trump's head and comes out of his mouth on such a regular basis. It's almost difficult to even express why it's such a bad idea. In all honesty, trying to explain to people why it's a bad idea, you first have to explain this way of thinking, and people look at you, as they have to me over the last 3 or 4 days, like I'm crazy. Like I'm making up a story about what Donald Trump is saying he wants to do. But this is exactly what he wants to do. And then he frames it in, we're going to take the money from their government because they haven't done anything for us. Again, this idea that everything the United States does is in some kind of a short-term, petty, transactional process by which we're going to give them $200 million, and what are we going to get for it? What you're going to get for it is a more stabilized society over time so that people in Central America can have a life there of which fleeing their country is not the best option. Just think about for a minute how bad life must be in El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras for people, mothers of children, to leave their country on foot and walk 1,000 or more miles to get to another country. For the love, they're fleeing something. Look, life in America is not that great. that you're going to try to get here with all of that risk and all of that pain if you weren't fleeing something. They're fleeing gangs and they're fleeing violence. So what we should be doing is doubling down. Now, look, I've spent a lot of time in Guatemala. I've been going there for more than almost 30 years. I spent time in El Salvador. I know people who do these works. I've seen USAID work on the ground in El Salvador and in Guatemala. It's incredible. What's done with $150 and $200 million? Simply incredible. Should it be half a billion dollars? Absolutely. Should that money be coming from more places? For sure it should. Does Central America have to figure out how to have governmental reforms and police reforms and violence reforms? Yes. Do they probably need to figure out something more like the European Union for all of Central and South America, where there could be more like one centralized governmental apparatus for all of these places? For sure. The country of Guatemala is like 5 million people. It's like taking Wisconsin, Minnesota, South Dakota, and Iowa and turning us all into separate nations. Now, I know some people in the South would like to do that with their states, that they really want to break up the union. But for most of us, we benefit from only having to run a state and not having to run an entire federal apparatus. In these countries, they're small. They have a small population, and they're incredibly divided, and poverty's high. So trying to take a 5 or 7 million person population or 10 million person population and run an entire nation off of that, it's extremely hard. They have their own currency. They have their own trade deals. It doesn't make any sense at all. I've been a long-term 30-year advocate for, I have to find another way to organize these countries for sure. But the United States should be doing something exactly opposite of what Donald Trump is saying. All right, if you want to talk about that, you can give us a call, 952-946-6205. We'll be back after the break. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, and the Afternoon Repartee.
Hi, this is Representative Raymond Dean, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Fire up, Minnesota. Warner Stallions Grill Expo is this weekend. See the world's best gas, charcoal, and pellet grills in action. Buy at Warner Stallions' guaranteed lowest price, and you still get trusted free professional assembly, free delivery, free haul away, 18 months no-interest financing, and three free products from No Name Meats and Seafood. Test drive your next grill and get a smoking hot deal this Saturday and Sunday only at all 10 Warner Stallion stores.
Hi, this is Laura, and I want to tell you about my family's favorite thing. It's our wood stove. We bought it about 14 years ago from Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. And see, the wood stove has actually paid for itself because we can keep the main area that we live in toasty warm with this great moist heat. But more important than saving money, it has actually improved our lives. Having a fire simplifies life. It provides comfort. It sort of takes the chill out of winter.
I'm Peter Solak. In 1977, I started Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, and I experienced the simple joy of warming myself by a fire. I also realized that the place and the way we embrace fire has evolved in a diversity of forms and styles. So at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we have brought together the widest selection of our fireplace products and technical knowledge in the Twin Cities. Our mission is to use our knowledge to help you choose the design and function that is right for you and your home.
Visit Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces today and find the right fire for you.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333. Woo,
woo, woo. Hi there. This is Alan Miller speaking, the local and studio curmudgeon. You're listening to... to, and wisely so, Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Hey, welcome back to the Repartee. Doug Padgett in today. It's a Wednesday. I'm often here on Wednesdays. And Hunter on Thursdays, Brett on Friday. Well, Brett, you're around all the time. You're like the you're the voice that's as consistent as anything. You're like the voice
of God. I'm everywhere, here, yes.
Yeah, you're everywhere. You're right inside people's heads. Well, we like to have all these voices here. And we'll go, in fact, let's chat with Stan in Minnetonka. Let's say a little something about AIDS Central America. Hey, Stan, thanks for your call today, and thanks for listening.
Hey, I tell you what, just quickly, we may have screwed up Syria pretty bad, but now the Russians are there, and Venezuela's, you know, pretty screwed up, and I don't know how much we had to do with that, but now the Russians are there. So if we want to pull the aid out of those three countries that, you know, most of those people are coming from, you know, who are coming over the border, then it'll probably be the Russians or the Chinese that move in there, and I'm not so sure that's what we want.
Boy, Stan, that is a really thoughtful comment. That very often what happens in international affairs, because countries know that, you know, we're all deeply connected to each other, and if the U.S. pulls out, and look, the U.S. has had a really negative experience in Central America. I've been going there for 30 years when there was still a kind of almost a covert civil war going on in Guatemala, and the CIA has been involved in some really bad stuff over the decades in Central America. And if we don't do the right thing, like you're saying, and invest and care and be neighbors in what how the Bush administration used to put it, in the neighborhood. If you don't live well with those that are even on your own, in your own hemisphere, it really seems like it's boy, I'm having a Trump moment. It really seems like it's giving up the experience that the U.S. should be having in these countries. Yeah. Do you have any experience in Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, anything like that yourself, or do you follow that?
No, I really don't travel that much out of this country. I'm single, and I just like enjoy traveling in this country. If I had somebody, you know, a significant other, just real quickly, I would like to say that Africa's the same thing. You know, we're basically thumbing our nose at the Africans, calling them the S-hole countries and whatever. Totally. And the Russians and the Chinese are just kind of moving in and helping themselves. So we are what we are.
Stan, I think that's really, really a good thought. Thanks for your call. I've been talking to a lot of Trump supporters for a long time about why they support Trump. And what you just tapped at there, Stan, is exactly what they say. That is a stance that many people that I know who support Trump and in the administration, this is what they've wanted for a long time. It's a version of isolationism. There's people on all sides of the political right and left spectrum that would like for the U.S. to have a much smaller footprint in the world. And there's some good arguments for that. There's a lot of fodder for good conversation about that, what the role of the U.S. should be all around the world. But there's a lot of Trump supporters who, when they hear that we're going to pull out aid and everything else, it's not because they don't even get to the point of thinking about, is it mean or not? Is it cruel? They just get to the point that the U.S. should just mind our own business and should just be us. And I want to argue every chance possible that ship has sailed. The United States is engaged with interests all over the world. And if we don't care for those interests, we become like people that adopted a puppy and are just letting them run wild. And it's not what anybody wants. Now, if we want to renegotiate our relationship with these other countries, if we want to renegotiate the care of that puppy in that metaphor, then we should do that. But you don't just cut the leash and say, go be on your own and go for a run. That's the conversation we have to have. And I wish the Trump administration had said that's the conversation we want to have. Instead, it's just this random stuff. As it turns out now, he's not even going to do it. He's not even going to cut the aid because he just says this stuff and makes people like me just lose our absolute mind. Okay, one more comment here from David, and then I'm going to get to Mark and Fridley and Gary. Hey, David, you have some thoughts about aid to Central America as well?
Yeah, you know, you made some really good points, and it made me think, you know, there's, you know, I don't know the answer to this, but sometimes I get the feeling that when we help, quote-unquote, help these other countries, that we're not really helping, we're just prolonging things. I've always been a strong believer in self-governance. And I just feel like sometimes when we step in and interfere, we're making it a lot worse. And maybe some of these countries would be better off if we just weren't there.
Yeah, it's a good conversation. I mean, I've spent time in those places, and I'll tell you, there's days where I've certainly felt that way. Like, maybe it's better we're not there. But I think there's a way to be there that is better than other ways of being there. And in my view, it's certainly better than not being there. At least in the countries in Central. Go ahead.
I agree that there's definitely a better way, but I mean, it's because of us that the term banana republic even exists.
right, because of our desire for bananas. But no, you're right. It's exactly that it's and that's part of the issue, right? That there's a big economic driving force and there's a big social force that makes this happen. I mean, partly because I have a lot of personal connection in Central America, and I just know how vulnerable those countries have been for 150 years, and weak. This is not the point at which the U.S. just says, we just want out. That you don't go this far down the road over the last 100 years and then all of a sudden decide to just pull out. We may want to renegotiate that, and I would appreciate any president who has a foreign policy that would want to renegotiate relationships with these countries, but just pulling out isn't one of them. But David, thanks so much for your call. Hey, Mark, and Fridley, sorry to keep you waiting so long. Sorry about that, my friend. Hey, Mark.
No, that's okay, and I would recommend a stand. I'm assuming you've read it. And David, please, I beg you, please read the book Confessions of an Economic Hitman, which goes into detail specifically what our – and David hit the nail on the head. We've been doing this since the 1800s.
Right.
And when you're talking about the CIA involvement and NGOs and USAID, you have to add another acronym, which is NOC, N-O-C, for non-official cover, which is CIA lingo.
There's been a lot of that in Central America.
Absolutely. And you know, if you read the article about Venezuela in the Sunday paper and the Star Tribune that came out of McClatchy, it was nothing other than pure propaganda. Hmm. It's not, you know, drugs are the problem, violence is the problem, but you know what the problem is? It's been that we are strangling these countries with economic and banking sanctions so we can overthrow what they're referring to as a leftist dictator. Leftist is a progressive dictator. We've been messing with Venezuela since Hugo Chavez and long before, and we're still not happy with that. China and Russia are filling in the void. They're bringing in aid, support, health care. Those are things we should do, but we need to also ask, how does a country that's trillions of dollars in debt give out billions of dollars in financial aid to other countries?
Well,
and that financial aid goes to the tops.
Yeah, okay. In this case, the money that goes to Central America through this program that Trump wants to cut, that Obama initiated, doesn't actually go to the tops. In this case, it goes to the NGOs. But we can talk about that more. Sorry, everybody. Sorry, Gary, we ran out of time here today. AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota, and your afternoon repartee. We'll be back tomorrow with Brett.